through the who of him and the why of him. But he is still able to think, because it's he who has thought of those boys, shrapnel made of gallantry, tearing apart any sense he'd once had of a benevolent order of things. He's falling backwards. Another shot. The corridor a reverberating sound tunnel. Hands are grabbing him and dragging him into the library. Hannah and David are moving him away from the closed library door and putting him into the recovery position. His sixth formers have all learnt first aid, compulsory in year 12. But how did they learn to be courageous? Perhaps it was there all this time and he didn't notice it. Medals again. Walked past 100 times. 1,000. He tries to reassure them that even if it looks bad, he is pretty sure it must look very bad indeed. Inside, he's okay. The who of him is still intact, but he can't speak. Instead, sounds are coming out of his mouth that are gasps and grunts and will make them more afraid. So he stops trying to speak. His pupils' faces look ghostly in the dim light, eyes gleaming, dark clothes invisible. They turned off all the electric lights when the code red was called. The Victorian wooden shutters have been pulled shut over the windows. Traces of weak winter daylight seep inside through the cracks. He, Matthew Marr, headmaster and only adult here, must protect them. Must rescue his pupils in junior school, the pottery room, the theatre and the English classroom along the corridor. Must tell the teachers not to take any risks and keep the children safe. But his mind is slipping backwards into memory. Perhaps this is what the shrapnel has done. Broken pieces of bone upwards so they form a jagged wall and he is stuck on the side of the past. But words in his own thoughts grab at him. Risks, safe. Rescue. What in God's name is happening? As he struggles to understand, his thoughts careen backwards too fast, perilously close to tipping over the edge of his mind and the blackness there, stopping with the memory of a china blue sky, the front of old school bright with flowering clematis, the call of a pied flycatcher. His damaged brain tells him the answer lies here in this day. But the thoughts that have brought him to this point have dissolved. Hannah covers Mr. Marr's top half with her puffer jacket, and David covers his legs with his coat. Then Hannah takes off her hoodie. She will not scream. She will not cry. She will wrap her hoodie around Mr. Marr's head, tying the arms tightly together, and then she must try to staunch the bleeding from the wound in his foot. And when she has done these things, she will check his airway again. No more shots. Not yet. Fear thinning her skin, exposing her smallness. As she takes off her t-shirt to make a bandage, she glances at the wall of the library that faces the garden. The shuttered windows too small and too high up for escape. The other wall, with floor-to-ceiling bookcases, runs alongside the corridor. The gunman's footsteps sound along the bookcases as he walks along the corridor. For a little while they thought he'd gone, that he'd walked all the way to the end of the corridor and the front door and left. But he hadn't. He came back again towards them. He must be wearing boots with metal in the heel. Click, 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 on the worn oak floorboards. Then a pause. No other sounds in the corridor. Nobody else's footsteps, no voices, no bump of a book bag against a shoulder. Everyone sheltering, keeping soundless and still. The footsteps get quieter. Hannah thinks he's opposite Mrs. Kale's English classroom. She waits for the shots. Just his footsteps. Next to her, David is dialing 999, his fingers shaking, his whole body shaking. And even though it's only 3 numbers, it's taking him ages. She's worried that the emergency services will be engaged because everyone's been phoning 999. For police, though, not for an ambulance, not till now. And maybe they'll be jamming the line. When I am queen, Dad says to her. And she says, when I am queen, there'll be a separate line for the police and ambulances and fire service. But she can't hear Dad's voice anymore. Just David saying,